It's the early 1960s. The grey light of dawn illuminates a large outdoor shed next to a house in a residential district. Anthony Hopkins, Diane Ladd. A Roger Donaldson production. Inside the shed is a red painted fiberglass shell, a streamlined missile-like casing which is marked with the words Munro Special, 1920 Scout. Several shelves on the wall of the shed are laden with pistons and other engine components. One shelf is marked with the words Offerings to the God of Speed. Next to a vintage motorcycle, a grey-haired man sleeping on a cot in the corner of the shed. The flat sand of a beach, the man who's in his 60s walks along whilst pushing a trundle wheel, measuring out a distance.
81, 82.
A motorcycle travelling flat out speeds across the sand. The rider wears a white helmet and is crouched down low over his machine. The world's fastest Indian. The bike tears along at breakneck speed. The hands of an alarm clock arrive at 5:30, and the man sleeping on the cot wakes. He turns the alarm off and sits up, drowsily rubbing his face. He pulls a cord, switching on a nearby light bulb. Then he blows some breath out. He imagines careering at great speed across a vast lake bed, zooming up to a standing figure that turns out to be himself. Now wearing coveralls, the man pushes the motorcycle from the shed. It's a 1920 V-twin Indian Scout. It has a distinctive, very low-slung frame, and it's been stripped of its front fender. The man climbs on and prepares to start it. The rear wheel's been mounted on a rotating test stand, and as the man cajoles the engine into life, it spins rapidly while the bike remains stationary. The noise disturbs some chickens in an enclosure and wakes a couple in the next door house. Wearing pajamas, one of the neighbours opens a window.
Bert! Shut that bloody thing up! You know what time it is? Bert! Bert! What do you think you're doing?
Sorry, George. What did you say?
Do you know what time it is?
Oh, sorry, I've got a heck of a lot to get done today. Right, and you know what they say, the early bird catches the worm.
And if you do this again, one more time, I'm calling the cops. And how about mowing your lawns? It's a bloody disgrace to the neighbourhood.
Bert glances at his watch and nods.
Yeah, all right.
A young boy appears at another window and Bert waves at him.
Kid.
Later in the day, the boy, a red-headed lad aged about 12, fills a kettle from a rain barrel and places it on a hot stove in Bert's garage. Bert himself is at a workbench, melting down pieces of metal.
Here we are, the perfect recipe. Two of Chevy, one of Ford. I think those 36 Chevy pistons must have a touch of titanium or something in them. They come up real good, you know. Hey, the kettle's boiling. Make yourself useful, make some tea.
The boy pours the boiling water into a teapot.
Can we have a biscuit too?
What?
Can I have a ginger nut?
Yeah, you know where they are. Help yourself.
The boy takes a biscuit from a tin.
Now you stay over there, stay there.
Wearing heavy protective gloves, Bird pours a small batch of liquid metal into a mould.
Right.
What are you doing for Christmas, Bert?
Christmas? I don't know. Why? You angling for a present or something?
No, I wondered if you were going away.
No. No time for Christmas, lad. Got a lot of work to do. I only managed 27 test runs this year. You know, 24 on the beach and 3 on the road. All at eagle light. I was going a bit over the speed limit, I have to admit.
How fast were you going?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't a clue. That's why I got to get her up to Bonneville. Find out how fast she will go.
The boy sits on a chair chewing his biscuit. He watches as Bert places an apparatus on the mould, allowing him to unscrew the top of it.
Now, there you go. Got to get the piston out of the mould. Pop's your uncle. Now, this is the last part of the operation, to chill the metal. It heat treats it. All right, watch yourself.
The water barrel.
That's where I got the water for the kettle from!
Yeah, well, that gives the tea a nice tang of titanium, doesn't it? Yeah, this bloke, he once asked me, he said, how do you heat treat your pistons, Bert? And I said, I don't, mate. I just bung them in cold water. And Bob's your uncle. And he said, well, that's the heat treatment, he said. And he just laughed and shook his head and walked away like, and oh, look, this could be the perfect piston. Bloomin' well ought to be. I have mine, hundreds of them. Look at them all out there, all blown to smithereens.
You made all those?
Yeah, and look, perfect. Beautiful, no inclusions, see? Tommy, does your mother have a carving knife I could borrow?
Carving knife, yeah?
Yeah, I need a good sharp knife.
Tom runs next door to his house, where his mother's on the phone.
Hang on. Thomas, what are you up to?
Nothing, Mum. Can I have some bread and peanut butter?
Okay, but make sure you put everything away when you're finished. Sorry.
Tom leaves the house with some bread, a carving knife, and a sharpener.
Tom! Don't forget the wood.
No, Mum.
Bert cuts thin slices from a motorbike tyre.
I have to get as much rubber off as possible. It has to be perfectly bald, like that, you see?
Why's that?
Well, at high speed, the centrifugal force expands the tyre and rubs against the frame of the bike. I have to be careful not to cut through the cords, though.
Why do you pee on your lemon tree?
What?
Why do you pee on your lemon tree?
Who says I do that?
Mum says she sees you every morning. She goes on and on about it.
Oh, does she? Yeah. Oh, well, it's a good fertiliser. You know, you shouldn't waste anything in this world, sonny.
Well, I better be off home.
All right, then.
Mum gets a bit cross if I stay over here too long.
She does?
Are you finished with the knife?
Not yet. I'll drop it by later.
No, don't do that. I'll pick it up after school tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Bert's filing down the piston when Tom's mother appears at the door.
Bert Munro.
Yeah?
I believe you have my carving knife.
Oh, yes.
And my sharpener.
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah, well, thanks a lot, love.
Bert gets out of his car and shakes hands with someone he meets outside the post office.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Oh, not bad. Could be better. Could be worse.
Good.
I see your front tyre's going a bit flat on you there, Bert.
Oh, yeah. Well, the good news is it's only flat in the bottom. I'll see you tomorrow night for the fun and games,
Bert. Tomorrow night. It'll be a good one.
Friend, give us the lot, will you? The usual.
One pension cheque coming up.
Friend, I want to ask you a question, the answer to which is a definite yes. All right, friend?
All right. Yes. What's the question, Bert?
Would you feel inclined to accompany an impeccable young gentleman to a local do tomorrow night?
You're asking me on a date, Bert Munro.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I am, actually, aren't I? Would you?
You're on.
Tom finds Bert filing down his toenails.
Hello, son.
Hey, Bert. It's disgusting.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, all dressed up for the do tonight and I couldn't get my best shoes on because my toenails had grown like oyster shells. Anyway, this should do the trick. There, well, look at that. Little twinkle toes.
A little closer, maybe steal a little kiss, let's twist.
Bert and Fran arrive at his birthday party.
Thanks, Bert.
I know.
They enter a packed public hall.
Evening, Bert.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Thank you very much. Hello, Duncan.
Bert.
Hello, I'm just going to say hello to the lads and I'll be back in a second. Hello, mate.
Happy birthday.
Hello, Graham.
All right, going well?
Yeah, not bad.
Happy birthday, Bert.
Thanks a lot, mate. It's a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
Would you like to buy a raffle ticket? Or two?
What's it for?
Porky the Pig plus 2 dozen beers. We're raising money to send Bert to the USA. Our mate, Bert.
Come on, Bert. Come and dance.
All right.
This is a twist. You know
right.
The twist? Huh? Come twist with me.
Oh.
See, you can twist.
And then everybody twist. This must be
that's it.
The atomic invasion. Then the air clears and the dust settles down. You look outside. Have they leveled the town? But there, in the yard, so briskly alive, stands Bert Munro's trusty, Old Indian Scout 45.
That was a wonderful tribute to Bert. Now, come on, Bert. We want you up on stage. Oh, no. Come on, come on, up you come. And I hope all of you have brought a raffle ticket tonight because we believe Bert will put the Southland Motorcycle Club on the map.
Tough-looking gang of motorbikers pull up outside the hall.
Yeah, what's going on out there?
Get out of here! Get out of here!
Get out of here!
Out here. Wearing leather jackets, the newcomers stride in with a threatening manner.
Yeah, well, folks, it looks like I've cracked it. I've, you know...
You Bert Munro?
What do you say?
City, you Bert Munro.
Are you looking for old Bert? I know. Have you seen Bert anywhere? Anyone seen Bert? Oh, no, he's...
You are. You're Bert Munro. You're the old codger that rides the army Indian, right?
Oh, that old joker. Bert Munro, yeah. Yeah, that's me, I think. Yeah. Now, the young fella, the army Indian, is a real dog. What I've got is the genuine article, the 1920 V-twin Scout.
That's the one with the pedals, right?
Don't put it up
there. Well, I don't know what sort of push bikes you monkeys came here into town on, but I know that my old timer would thrash the backsides of whatever they are.
Oh, I don't think so, Grandad.
Oh, well. Why didn't you chumps put your money where your mouth is then?
You're on. The old coot.
What?
Yeah. Looks like they've chickened out, Bert.
Huh?
Looks like they've chickened out.
They're here.
Huh?
They're here.
The biker gang arrive at the beach.
Nice of them to show up, isn't it?
The leader stops and holds up some cash.
100 says the Indian comes last.
Right, mate. Good on you.
While one of the gang kicks up sand, spinning his bike in a tight circle, another draws a line in the sand with a stick. The dozen or so gang members ride their bikes up to the line, preparing for the race. Bert manoeuvres the Indian into a starting position.
Come on! Come on!
The gang takes off, but Bert doesn't move.
Come on! Give me a push!
Come on, you drunkard!
Come on, Bert!
Give me a push! Come on, push hard!
Go, Bert!
Bert takes off after the bikers. The biker gang have a serious head start, but Bert works the throttle and is soon accelerating at a tremendous rate. His bike eats up the sand, and in moments he flashes past the bikers so fast, it's almost as if they're standing still. Bert decelerates, ready to make the turn past a marker barrel, but his rear wheel skids out and he's thrown from the bike. He gets to his feet just as the gang approach the turning point.
Bagger!
Nice bike, Brendan! Loser! Yeah!
Having made the turn with ease, they all ride off down the beach. Bert picks up the Indian. Soon he's got it hitched to the rear of his car.
Well, thanks, fellas.
Better luck next time.
Yeah.
Better luck, Bert.
In the car, Fran hands him some coffee.
There you go. Oh, thanks, Sam.
Careful, it's hot.
All right. Well, at least I gave them a good run for their money. On the downward leg, anyway.
Bert? What's it going to cost to get over to America?
Sorry, love, what did you say?
How much is it going to cost to get over to America?
I don't know, about 2,000, I'm told.
And how much money have you got now?
Well, apart from today's disaster and the dough from last night and the pension money I've been saving, about $1,275 United States dollars, I reckon.
Well, I could lend you some money.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Fran, love, but no, couldn't do that, love. No, thanks.
Well, there must be something you can do.
Well, I haven't told anyone else this, Fran, but yeah, I don't reckon I'll be going to Bonneville. I mean, not this year, anyway, and, you know, $700 is a lot of money to find, and the boat leaves in 5 days, but, except I would like to see how fast you'll really go before I fall off the perch, as it were, before I, kick the old bucket. Oh, well.
Nighttime, and Bert's car pulls up next to a hot food bar.
Hello, Lloyd.
G'day, Bert. Shame about the fall.
Yeah, well, I'm still in one piece, aren't I?
Yeah. What are you having tonight?
Specialty of the house, pea pie and pud.
It's $5.
All right.
Bert?
Yeah?
Why don't you take out a mortgage on your house?
What house?
Well, your property. I mean, it's worth something.
Yeah. Here you are.
Monroe, look at the colour of your hands.
What's the matter with them?
Are you going to wash those mitts before you put them anywhere near me?
There we are.
It's morning, and wearing a raincoat, Bert walks out into his garden and pees on the base of a lemon tree. He then walks to the chicken enclosure. He lifts the top of a nesting box from which he removes 2 eggs. Next, he's prepared a breakfast tray for Fran, who's sleeping in the cot.
Wakey, wakey. Time to rise and shine.
Oh, Bert, you're a sweetie. I've got to get out of here before the neighbours spot me.
She drinks some tea.
Oh, Bert, this tastes a bit odd. Metallic.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Oh, cracky. Oh,
what?
Look, the payment chest. Ah.
He's in the shed. Hurry.
Tom sees an ambulance arriving. The ambulance crew carry Bert from the shed on a stretcher.
Bert, what's wrong with you?
I'll be all right. Tommy, don't worry about me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He's placed inside the ambulance and the doors are closed. The ambulance drives away, and some of Bert's neighbours turn to stare at Fran.
What are you all staring at? Dirty old men need love too.
At the hospital...
Mr. Monroe.
Hello. So, what's the story, Doc?
I'm sorry, it's not good news.
Oh, yeah? Well, fire away.
You've had an attack of angina.
Oh, yeah?
You have arteriosclerosis.
Oh, what's that?
It's a narrowing of the arteries from the heart.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's not too much we can do for you at your age other than suggesting you take it easy.
Oh, yeah?
Look, if you have another attack, pop one of these under your tongue, let it dissolve, and then swallow the saliva. The pain should be gone in 30 seconds.
Yeah, what do you call these things?
Trinitrate pills.
Yeah?
Better known as nitroglycerine.
Oh, yeah, the stuff you blow things up with.
Yes, but in much smaller quantities.
Yeah, all right. Will this have any effect on me riding my bike?
Unfortunately, I think your motorcycling days are over.
Like hell they are.
Bert gets out of his car, which is parked next to a red brick building marked Bank of New Zealand. Inside, he takes a pill as he waits outside an office.
It won't be much longer.
He reads the pretty blonde secretary's nameplate.
Springfield. Springfield. That's where the Indians come from.
Indians?
Yeah, the Indians from Springfield, Massachusetts. Yeah. It's the world's greatest motorcycle.
Oh, is that so?
That's right.
You can come through now.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Springfield. Yeah, the plan is for me to drive up to Timaru and there, me and my bike, we'll catch a boat to the US of A to Los Angeles, and the boat leaves on Saturday, and I'll buy a car in Los Angeles and drive up to Utah to the Bonneville Salt Flats.
And it's really important you do this trip.
Oh, sure is, mate, you know. Ever since I was a lad, I've been interested in things that go fast, you know, things that roll and go, and... you know, at Bonneville, things go real fast. It's you know, this giant dried-up lake bed, and it goes for miles and miles, and it's dead flat, and you can drive a vehicle just as fast as it will go. And it's you know, one of the few places on Earth where you can find out just what your machine is capable of. In fact, here I am on the... that's me on the front of the New Zealand motorcyclist. That's the Indian there.
Hey, very good.
Yeah, a few years ago. So I'd best be off soon, because I don't know how much longer I've got to live, you see.
Yes, well, I don't think I heard that last statement.
So I don't know how much longer I've got to live.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. Oh. So tell me, Bert, what are you offering as collateral for this loan?
Well, my tools and my bits and pieces and my trophies and a lot of things like that.
Yes, well, I don't think they'd be of much interest to the bank. I think we'd be looking for something more substantial. Something like the deed of title to your property.
Yeah.
Off on Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
That's soon. I wish I could come too.
Oh, maybe next time.
Thomas, it's dinner time. Come home now.
Nene finished, Mrs. Jackson?
Yeah, Mum, we're almost finished.
Thomas?
See you after dinner, Bert.
All right, Ned.
In the shed, Bert sits looking at his passport while Tom pretends to ride the motorbike.
Not so fast. I'm the record breaker. Where are you going? And that's the, before I put the, you know, the streamliner on it.
What's that one?
Yeah, that's a girlfriend of mine. When I first bought the bike, a long time ago, that was. Yeah.
Aren't you scared you'll kill yourself if you crash?
No. No, you live more in 5 minutes on a bike like this going flat out than some people live in a lifetime. And, yeah, more in 5 minutes. That's my dad there. And my mum. Yeah, they're all gone.
Earth's gone by so fast. You know, danger is the spice of life, and if you've got to take a risk now and again, haven't you, son? You know, that's what makes life worthwhile. And, you know, having some nice ladies around can be a big help, mind you.
You really don't get scared?
No, no. You know, when I was a boy about your age, I had a little twin brother. His name was Ernie. And one day our dad was out the back cutting down a tree. And suddenly it got hung up, or the tree, that is, it got stuck or something. And Ernie went to try and help, and all of a sudden the tree slipped and fell on him and killed him stone dead. Yeah, I always remember that. Anyway, since then, I've always tried never to be scared of anything. Though I must say, before a big bike event, I do sometimes get nervous, you know, if the butterflies in my stomach were cows, I'd be able to start a dairy farm. That's funny.
When they took you off in the ambulance to the hospital, what happened?
I don't know, it's just a touch of indigestion, I think. Yeah, that's all it was. There's nothing wrong with me, don't you worry about me. And anyway, at my age, any day above ground and vertical is a good day. Listen, you take care of this until I get back, all right?
What happens if you don't come back?
Well, we'll talk about that then, shall we?
Hey, Bert.
Yeah?
Don't forget to mow your lawns, will you?
What?
Don't forget to mow your lawns. My dad goes on and on about it.
Oh, he does, does he?
He says it lowers the property values of the neighbourhood.
Wow. Oh dear, we can't have that, can we?
Bert's in his yard, throwing petrol from a can over the overgrown grass and weeds. He then lobs a burning torch into the undergrowth. The yard's immediately consumed by flames and smoke. Tom comes to stand next to Bert.
What are you doing?
Son, I was just getting rid of the grass.
Bert! What the hell are you doing this time?
Oh, like you said, George, I'm getting rid of the grass. Being a good neighbor before I leave tomorrow.
Tom, get back inside now. Now! Honest, Bert!
A fire engine arrives.
What are they doing here?
It might be the fire, Bert.
Bert and some friends are attaching the red fiberglass streamliner to the motorcycle.
All right, the tail goes in first. That's it, Jeff. Yeah, you got it. This goes in here.
Bert packs a suitcase.
Right, see if I've got everything. My spectacles, testicles, watch, and wallet. What are you laughing at? I'm on my way.
Dad says to call us collect.
What?
Dad says to call us collect.
That's nice of him.
Tell us how you get on.
All right. Thank you.
That's our phone number. Do you think you'll break the record?
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
Dad doesn't think you can do it.
Oh, is that what he said?
He says everyone thinks that.
Oh, well.
Except me.
They smile at each other.
Ah, you're good. Good boy, Tom. Yeah. I'll tell you something, son. If you don't follow through on your dreams, you might as well be a vegetable.
What type of vegetable?
I don't know. A cabbage. Yeah. A cabbage. Yeah, don't lose it, will you?
Promise I'll look after it.
Right. So keep an eye on the place for me, won't you, Tom? And, don't forget to feed the fowls.
That's my job.
Yeah, and, you know, you can give the eggs to Mum, and what else is there? You can pee on my lemon tree for me if you like while I'm away. And,
Well, there's nothing wrong in peeing on your lemon tree, as Confucius used to say, it's the best natural fertilizer in the world, you know?
Who's Confucius?
Oh, he's a bloke who lives up in Dunedin. Well, thanks for your help, chaps.
Good luck, Bert.
Thanks, Jeff.
You show him over here in the States, Bert.
I will.
Take it easy, Bert.
That's not one of the things I'm planning on doing, George. Cheerio, love.
Good luck.
Cheerio, my friend. If you don't go when you want to go, when you do go, you'll find you've gone. I'll see you.
See you, Bert.
Bye, Bert. Good luck.
Cheerio. See you, Bert.
Bert's friends and neighbours wave as he joins Fran in his car. They drive off, towing the bike on a trailer, while Tom's parents look at Bert's charred yard. Tom's still waving with a sad look on his face. Bert and Fran are now parked in a petrol station.
Well, Fran, I'm finally on my way. You know, I thought some more of the blokes from the club would have dropped by to see me off.
Well, they probably had to work today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, young Tom tells me no one thinks I can do it. Do you think I can do it, Fran?
Oh, I don't know, Bert. I don't think it really matters one way or the other.
Yeah. You know, I read something once years ago, and I learned it off by heart. It was Theodore Roosevelt said it. He said it's not the not the critic that counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. Yeah. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena.
The biker gang ride into the station.
Wind your window down! Down!
What?
Some beer money.
What?
Some beer money.
I don't drink.
And good luck. You go well.
Thanks, mate.
You show them Kiwis can fly, huh?
Yeah, I'll bring you back the Statue of Liberty. Good on you, mate. Thanks a lot.
Bert and Fran are given a motorcycle escort as they continue their journey. Now Bert's watching as the shipping crate his bike is in is winched up by a crane.
Hey, not so fast! Clarky! Take it easy, mate! I thought it was a goner.
As it's lowered onto the ship, the crate tips over.
Better get going.
Yeah. All right. Take care of the old jalopy, won't you?
You look after yourself.
Yeah, well.
You got your pills and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right as rain. Right.
You come back in one piece.
Oh, well. Cheerio.
He gives Fran a kiss and is soon climbing up the gangway of the small freighter, carrying his suitcases.
Where's the captain?
Down below. Down that gangway there.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm looking for the captain.
That's me.
Oh. Well, my name's Bert Munro. Supposed to do a job to work my passage to Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, I hope you can cook.
Cook? Oh, I'll give it a go.
There's the galley.
Ah. Crikey. Who does the dishes, mate?
You.
Out at sea, Bert serves a meal.
Smells good.
What do you have for us today, Bert?
That's good Kiwi Tucker.
Oh, don't let Bert see you doing that.
Yeah, don't spoil it with all that sauce.
Sorry, Bert.
Stand the crowds.
Later.
What's the movie, Bert?
What's that?
Are you gonna watch the movie?
Yeah. What's it called?
Broken Barrier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's supposed to be good.
Jane Russell, isn't it?
Spicy it over here, Bert.
Yeah, man.
Bert takes a seat as the ship rolls.
Smoke.
No, not from me, mate.
Oh, you don't smoke, Bert?
No, I don't. And that's why people say to me, how do you keep going at your age, Bert? And I say, well, because I don't smoke. And that's what I'm telling you, young monkeys. Don't smoke. Well, you can laugh, but my dad said, why contaminate your lungs with tobacco smoke? The only thing you accomplish with smoking is destroying your lungs and shortening your life.
Kill the lights!
A projector's turned on.
Is Jane Russell in this?
Go well, Bert.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
All the best.
Bert.
Good luck to you, mate.
Thanks. Remember what I said. Don't smoke.
I'm trying.
Cheerio, mates. See ya.
Welcome to the United States. Customs to the left.
Thank you. Good to be here. Good day.
Bert approaches a customs desk.
Good day.
Please stand behind the yellow line until you are called, sir.
What's that?
Behind the yellow line.
Yellow line.
As soon as Bert's gone behind the line, the customs official calls him forward.
Good day.
Passport and customs declaration, please.
All right. Yeah.
The man looks at Bert's passport.
And how long do you intend to stay in the United States?
Oh, however long it takes me to get to Bonneville and back.
And the purpose of your visit?
Oh, to set a land speed record on my engine.
Indian.
Mr. Monroe, this is your first time to America.
Yes, sir.
You gave some rather odd answers to the officer, so we just have a few further questions we'd like to ask.
Oh, fire away.
Well, let's go over again what you said. Now, what exactly do you intend to do here in the United States?
I'll set a land speed record.
And how do you intend to do that, sir?
On my motorcycle. It's in the hold of the ship at the moment, and they're going to unload it tomorrow. It's an Indian, a 1920 Indian Scout, modified somewhat.
You know what? I think I've read about your bike.
Oh, yeah?
It was in Popular Mechanics a couple of years ago.
That's right, that's me. Yes, Leslie Hobbs from Christchurch sent that story in.
What was it, fastest motorcycle in Australia?
Yeah, and in New Zealand.
Well, I guess you're legitimate, Mr. Monroe. Sounds like we should be very honored to have you here in America.
Oh, thank you.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you 6 months. That should be time enough to get the job done. Welcome to the USA.
Oh, thank you very much.
And good luck, sir.
Thank you.
The driver of a yellow cab addresses Bert.
He is in the trunk.
What?
The bags, in the back. Bag, back.
Don't worry about me. I do it myself.
Bert opens the boot of the cab and dumps his bags in. Slamming the boot closed again, he then tries to open the front passenger door.
No. Sit in the back. In the back.
Huh?
You, in the back.
Tell you something, mate. You don't want to get old around here. Ta-da!
Where to?
Huh?
Where to?
Hollywood. I want to go to Hollywood. I want to see the film stars.
Okay, we go to Hollywood. Where in Hollywood?
A motel on Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, there's a pretty great street.
I don't know who you're talking to lately. Which motel?
Oh, I recommend one.
And what do you think I am? Encyclopedia?
Drop me somewhere and I'll sort it out myself.
The cab drives off and Bert peers out of the back window.
Let's have a big electricity bill here. Firestone? Shell? It's all about cars, isn't it? I've never seen so many cars.
You say something, man?
I said I've never seen so many cars.
Gotta get around somehow.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a bowling alley. Do you bowl?
Two cars stop beside them at a junction.
What's he honking his horn about? Did you see that? That black bacon geezer's car. He's crazy. He's nuts. again. He did it again.
Don't stare. There's a lot of crazy people in this town.
I've never seen anything like that before.
They arrive in the forecourt of a motel with a neon sign that reads Flamingo Sunset.
This should do.
What's the damage?
$28 plus bag, $29.
Huh? Did you just say what I thought you said?
Are you deaf?
What?
Are you deaf?
Yeah, I'm a bit deaf, but I'm not stupid. How much did you say it was?
$29.
No, I don't want to buy the cab, man. I just want to pay the fare, that's all.
Where are you from?
What?
You a British?
No, you must be joking. I'm from New Zealand.
Well, this is America.
Yeah.
And the fare is right there on the meter, $29.
Yeah.
Open your wallet and let the moths out.
I'm doing it. There you go, $29.
Well, no, don't forget the tip.
What?
Yes, we tip in America.
Oh, yeah?
10%.
How much?
10%.
Oh, yeah. There you go. 10 cents.
Bert gets out and the cab drives off. A young woman holding a basket of flowers.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
You look like a generous man.
What?
You look like a generous man.
Oh, do I?
Yes, you do. Would you like to buy a flower to give to someone special?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash.
Oh, don't worry, the money goes to a good cause.
What's that?
It's for an organization that helps needy people.
Oh, all right, well. How much is it?
Just give what you can afford.
All right. Well, they all look the same to me. They're all green.
Yes, that's why we call them greenbacks.
Yeah, this looks like one.
Oh, look, there's one.
No, come, that's a
thanks.
No,
you have a good day.
Hey, come on, miss. That's a 10. I didn't want to pay that much. Hey, come back.
Another young woman.
Hey, baby.
Where do you work?
You want to go?
Go where?
Go inside.
Oh, I'm going inside.
I'll take you around the world.
I've just come from halfway around the world.
$15, baby. $15.
Oh, sorry. Go away.
He goes into the motel reception.
Hello. Oh. Phew. Well, I need a room.
Room will cost you $5 an hour.
Well, I'm planning on staying a bit longer than that.
How long?
I know, a couple of days, I guess.
Double occupancy?
What?
Double occupancy.
No, just me, myself and I. Will it cost a lot? Because I can't afford a lot.
You member of AAA?
What?
Are you a AAA member?
Never heard of them.
Never heard of AAA?
No, Miss Brittle Britches, I have not heard of AAA.
Okay, let's just say you are a member, Dow.
What?
That'll save you 10%.
Oh.
How does $22 a night sound?
That much? Is that cheap?
Honey, that's cheaper than cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's your name?
Tina Washington.
Well, Tina Washington, I want you to have this. Might cheer you up a bit. Get some of that muck off your pluck.
Well, thank you. That's the first nice thing that's happened around here all week.
You're welcome. My name's Bert Munro from New Zealand. I'm from Down Under.
Well, hello, Bert Munro from New Zealand Down Under.
I tell you, I've had a heck of a night.
Oh, welcome to Hollyweird.
In his room, Bert takes some coins from his money belt before stashing it under his pillow. He puts the coins into a small meter on the bedside table, which is marked Sensual Massage. He lies back on the bed as it begins to vibrate. After a moment, he sits up again, removes his glasses, and lifts a pillow so he can look curiously at the mattress below. Obviously bemused, he stands up and stares down at the bed. It's daytime as Bert goes up to the reception desk.
Hello? Anybody home? Well, Tina.
Good morning, Bert.
You still here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, that's why you were so crabby last night. Don't you ever get any sleep?
Honey, I work the night shift. I'm out of here as soon as James turns up, and he's late.
Oh. Yeah, could you, you phone this number for me? Yeah, it's a shipping company, and they've got a big box of mine, and I want to know how I can arrange to get it.
Now you talk to them. They'll never get my accent.
Okay, what do you want me to ask them? One moment, please.
I'll ask them, when will Bert Munro's box containing the motorcycle be ready for pickup?
Hello, I'm calling for Mr. Bert Munro. Yes, he'd like to know when the box containing his motorcycle will be available for pickup. What ship?
A Rangatira from New Zealand.
The Rangatira from New Zealand. So he can claim it?
No.
Tomorrow from the Long Beach Customs holding area. Okay, thank you. I'll tell him. Bye-bye.
That was pretty fast.
You're late! I can't stand another minute in this place. Let me buy you breakfast.
Well, this is great. You know, I've never seen a menu with photographs before.
You ready to order, sir?
What?
Are you ready?
Oh, yes. I think the double delight. That's for me.
How would you like your eggs?
What?
How would you like your eggs?
Well, I like them cooked.
Sunny side up, over easy.
I don't know, whatever you recommend.
Over easy's best.
All right, eggs over easy.
Make that too.
Over easy. I must remember that. Yeah, I like this American breakfast thing. It's good. So, my girl, where's the best place for me to get a used car?
The Valley.
Oh, yeah?
After breakfast, I can take you there.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm not a girl. I'm a boy.
Oh. Well, I thought there was something a little odd about you, but yeah, you're still a sweetheart. Yeah.
Tina drops Bert off outside the offices of a used car lot.
Oh, thanks a million, Tina. Hey, there are stacks of cars here. I'll be back at the motel later on.
A salesman.
Buenos dias.
Hello.
How may I help you, sir?
Yeah, I want to buy a car. A cheap car, a very cheap car.
Well, you've come to the right place, amigo. In fact, if you can find cars like these any cheaper, they're probably stolen.
My name's Bert Munro from New Zealand. Nice to meet you.
I'm Fernando from El Salvador. Nice to meet you, Mr. Munro.
You can call me Bert.
Okay, Mr. Bert.
Yeah.
So, how much were you looking to spend here, Mr. Bert? Oh,
not a lot, Fernando. I haven't got much left after the cab ride I took yesterday. You want $399 for this? Sounds a bit sick.
Well, what would you offer me?
Listen, I'll give you $200 if you do me a favor. Throw in the use of your workshop and some of that junk I see lying around. And so I've got to knock up a trailer to drag my bike over to Bonneville.
That's not a favor. $325 is a favor.
No, $225.
You're a tough customer, Mr. Bert, yeah. But I like you. I'm gonna give it to you for $250, and you can use the workshop, but only at night, and keep the noise.
All right, what about tonight?
Yeah, tonight's okay.
All right, let's stop the car. Let's get this thing running properly.
With the 50-style car stopped, Bert opens the bonnet and makes an adjustment to the engine.
Let me drive.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, she's singing like a bird now. She's a good old girl, isn't she? Hey, here we are, all right.
Bert gives a hand signal and pulls back onto the road.
You make a left here, Mr. Bert.
All right. Sure done. I was back in New Zealand, we drive on the other side of the road over there.
Yeah. And it'd get us all killed.
Yeah.
Well, you're not in New Zealand. You're in America.
Yeah, I know.
We drive on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
Fernando lights a cigarette.
Now, Bert, let me give you some advice.
What?
When you're driving, not only here in America, but anywhere around the world.
Yeah.
The driver should always be in the center of the road. Right. In the center. If you're not in the center, you're on the wrong side of the road. Okay?
Yeah.
It's nighttime at the lot, and Fernando's helping Bert weld together the trailer frame.
Well,
yeah.
You want this right here?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, good. Got it.
Dios mío, it's 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
You know, when I told you you can use the workshop at night, I didn't mean all night.
Yeah.
My wife's gonna kill me.
Yeah. You take yourself back home and I'll have a snooze in the back of the car. And I'll lock up the place before I go to sleep.
Seems to me like a whole lot of effort to sell a lousy $250 motor car.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Bird, you pull the door down. Have a good night.
Hey, Fernando, where do I get a... Where do I take a leak around here?
A leak?
Yeah, pee. Trouble with the old prostate, you know?
Yeah, go straight through those doors. There's a door there that says Caballero.
All right.
Okay. I'll see you in the morning, early,
yeah.
Okay?
Good night. Where were we?
Bert's asleep in his car.
Bert? Buenos dias, Mr. Bert. So did you get it all finished?
Yeah. All I need to do is find a couple of wheels and I'll be ready to roll.
Well, hey, you know, I got some wheels in the back you could have if you just do me a favor.
I'll say the word. Crank it up, Fernando. Good.
Bert.
Yeah.
You're a goddamn genius.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, well, you gotta go. Why don't you stick around here while I pay you well?
Sorry, mate. I gotta get to Bonneville by the 23rd. That's when Speed Week starts, and, you know, I gotta hit the road.
Well, you always got a job here.
Thanks, mate. I'll see
you. Best of luck to you.
Ta-ra.
This thing I want you to win.
Bert drives his new car and the improvised trailer over to the motel. Tina's at reception.
Hello, love.
I was worried about you.
Oh, yeah?
Housekeeping said you didn't sleep in your bed all night.
Oh, well, do I get a discount for that?
I doubt it.
Now, I need you to show me on a map how to get to Long Beach, so I've got to pick up my bike today.
I'm finished here in 15 minutes. I'll come with you.
Not a bad set of wheels for $250, eh?
You sure it'll make it to Utah?
Yeah. Just how a girl get to New Zealand and back. Yeah. Hop in, my fair lady.
Thank you.
The bloke who sold me this car, he gave me a good tip. He said, always remember that the driver, that's me, should be on the center of the road.
Look out, look out!
Yeah, all right. In New Zealand, we always drive on the other side of the street.
You too?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
Do you want me to drive?
No, it's all right. I've got to get used to it, don't I?
This should be customs right here.
Right.
A customs office reception desk.
Hello.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, my name's Bert Munro, and I've come to pick up my motorcycle. I came into port 2 days ago from New Zealand and on a freighter called Rangatira. And I was told to come here to clear it through customs.
Okay, Mr. Munro.
Yeah, Munro, M-U-N-R-O.
Munro. Wait here a minute, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Munro's here for that damn shipment.
Mr. Munro.
Munro.
Come with me, please, to the storage area.
No problem.
Your consignment has suffered some damage.
Oh, no. Why the heck did I bother to paint these arrows on the side of it, then?
It's the way it was delivered here, unfortunately.
Well, what happened to it?
My information is that 10 tons of fertilizer was inadvertently loaded on top of your box while it was in the hold.
Oh.
If I were you, I'd sue the shipping company.
Sue? I haven't got time to waste my blooming life suing anybody. Get some of your blokes, too. Pull this right side up so I can get into the motorcycle and see what damage has been done. All right, fellas, let's get it unwrapped. Both tails all right. No damage so far. No damage at all. Good.
Lucky it was packed so well.
Yeah, it's a blooming miracle. Whoa, Well, the old Indian lives to fight another day.
Bert and Tina return to the motel with the Munro special.
Oh, thanks a million, Tina. I don't know what I'd have done without you today. You're the real salt of the earth, you know that?
Are you sure you wouldn't like to come home to Mikasa for dinner tonight?
No, I can't, love.
I could cook you a meal.
No, get the show on the road, get out of Dodge, as they say.
Okay, my good friend from Kiwi Land. You stay in touch, won't you?
I will.
Here's my phone number.
Okay.
Call me and tell me how you're doing.
I will. Can I call collect?
You can try.
Tina gives him a peck.
That's a good job. I think you're a woman.
I am a woman.
Yeah, right. Ta-ra, love. See ya.
Tina waves as Bert sets off. Presently, Bert's driving along a desert road. He turns off to stop at a small petrol station where three children are playing near the pumps. An attendant comes out to meet Bert.
Morning.
Morning.
Ah. Fill her up, would you, please?
Regular or Ethel?
Who's Ethel? All right, I'll take Ethel.
A young boy's inspecting the Munro special streamlined casing.
Hi, young fella.
Hello. Is this a rocket ship?
What?
Is this a rocket ship?
I hope so.
Bert's travelling on a straight and deserted road when he notices something's amiss with the trailer. He looks back just as one of the wheels separates from the axle. The whole trailer then breaks away from the car, and throwing up sparks, it veers lopsidedly onto the side of the road. Bert does a quick U-turn and drives back to the trailer as the errant wheel continues rolling along. He gets out of the car and walks up to the cycle, which is now lying on its side.
Oh, gosh.
He checks the damage to the trailer.
What's happened to you?
Then examines the Indian. He tries lifting it up, but it's too heavy. He has a look around, but there's nothing in sight except empty scrubland and distant hills.
Gotcha. Hey, come on.
Having located the stray wheel, he carries it back to the trailer and dumps it on the ground.
I thought we were going to make it, you and me. And now look what's happened. Ah.
Bert finds a long, heavy piece of wood near the roadside. He heaves it onto his shoulder and carries it over to the bike. As the truck turns onto the main road, heading in his direction, Bert steps out to meet it. He raises a hand to flag it down. The truck driver is a Native American.
Hi, mate.
Got a problem?
Yeah, my glad to see you. Yeah, I've lost the wheel. Let me get my route back on the road, will you?
Okay, let's see.
My name's Bert. Bert Munro.
Jake.
Jake, yeah. Jake. You Indian?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this here could be the world's fastest Indian. Well, at least until just now. She's a bit heavy, mind you.
So let's take these 1, 2, 3.
Get him around you, Jake.
Bert follows Jake's pickup. The trailer's been given a makeshift repair using the wooden beam as a skid. Later, Bert's sitting with Jake next to an open fire.
Bert.
Huh?
What do you want to ride that contraption for?
It's a good question. I guess the reward is in the doing of it.
You know?
I don't
want
to go to bed.
Jake, I'm dying for a pee. Where do I go?
There's a little building back there.
I got a touch of prostate trouble, you know?
I have similar problems.
Well, I thought you blokes would have some magic cure for that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, we have.
Yeah?
One old remedy is ground up dog balls.
Oh, good.
But I prefer prostate trouble.
Yeah, I bet you do, mate.
The next day.
Yeah, you.
Jake, gotta get going. Gotta hit the road.
Bert, I have something for you.
I'll say that.
A necklace.
Well, good luck.
I have this. I've never worn jewelry before. Thanks, mate. Oh, I've got something for you, too. Hang back. Right. Let's see.
Bert gets a broken piston from his car.
Got this. It's a spare one. I made it myself.
What do I do with this?
You got a hacksaw?
Yeah.
You just slice the top of it through there where the gudgeon thing goes. It'll make a great ashtray. Not that I approve of smoking, mind you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks a lot, mate. So long.
Sorry we couldn't fix your trailer.
That's all right. I'll get this somehow.
Bert? What? For the prostate. Uh-huh. Use with water. Plenty of water. Tastes bad. Really bad.
Dog's balls, huh? Well, thanks a lot, mate. See ya. Ta-da.
Bert trundles away in his car, dragging the Munro Special behind him. Jake waves goodbye. Bert cruises along the road, the end of the trailer's wooden beam, where the wheel's missing, scraping against the tarmac, and issuing a trail of dust and smoke. The car judders over a bumpy patch of road. Bert approaches a house set off the road on the edge of a vast expanse of flat land, and parks near some run-down pickup trucks, a cloud of dust wafting from the wheels of his car. He gets out. He trudges towards the house, a low chain-link fence bordering the perimeter. He steps onto the porch and knocks at the screen door.
Hello? Anyone home?
Some clothes are billowing on the washing line.
Hello there!
An old woman peers out.
Spot a bother with my trailer. Lost the wheel.
You're not from around these parts.
I'm from down there.
What?
I'm from down under. Down the side of the world. New Zealand. Southernmost city in the British Empire. It's called Invercargill. One of the most beautiful cities on the earth. That's Bert Munro.
Bert? Ada.
What?
Ada!
Here she is.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh.
She looks at the trailer.
We got some problems here, yes, siree.
Yeah.
I tell you what you need to do. Cannibalize a stub axle off that old Ford right there.
Okay.
Lucky for you, I got some welding here. We'll get a new wheel on there pronto.
Good.
Wearing a protective mask, Bert works an angle grinder on the axle while Ada watches.
That's got it.
When you, finish there...
Yeah?
I got something that I want to show you.
Hey, what's that?
Oh, never you mind. You just get that wheel on there right.
Yeah.
An old pickup truck rumbles to a halt in a sparse cemetery, and Bert and Ada get out.
Why don't you bring me out here?
I want to show you this.
Huh?
Right here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I laid my old boy to rest 12 years ago next week.
Oh, yeah?
And I sure do miss him.
Yeah?
I sure do miss the old boy.
He did his level best.
He did.
Well, I always figured a man's like a blade of grass. He grows up in the spring. Strong and healthy and green, and he reaches middle age, and he ripens, as it were, and then in the autumn, he, like a blade of grass, he finishes, just fades away, and he never comes back. Just like a blade of grass. I think when you're dead, you're dead. I always thought that since I grew up a bit.
Is that your philosophy?
Well, I know. Yeah, I suppose it is. When you get at my age, these thoughts cross your mind sometimes, you know.
Stop! Sideways!
Bert hops as the snake attacks.
Oh, my God, man, haven't you ever seen a snake before?
Oh, my God. No, we don't got snakes in New Zealand.
Good God, I ought to move there. No. Oh.
Where's he going?
Damn rattlers!
Any more around here?
Oh, God. Fancy this. You come all this way to bite the dust up at Boot Hill.
Yeah. Been a laugh, haven't it?
He gives her a hug.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Bert.
Huh?
Where are you going to sleep tonight?
I don't know. No idea. I don't know.
Bert's asleep in bed, his face bathed in soft blue light. He wakes with a start and looks around a little bewildered. In the morning, he's still awake, the round, pale blue pendant necklace that Jake gave him resting on his bare chest. Ada's asleep next to him.
I had a strange dream last night. I dreamt about my late twin brother, Ernie. I thought he's in the room, near here looking down on us. I guess it's all that fun and games at the graveyard. Suppose. Oh, well. Getting old ain't for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that. Oh, God. What have you done to my back, Ada? Oh. Oh, I'm getting old. Yeah, come on, I'll go. Make me a cup of tea. I'm going to hit the road. Ada, come on. You haven't died in your sleep, have you, old girl? Have me a cup of tea.
Come here, lover boy.
I'm making myself. All right, thanks.
He opens his car door.
Now, Bert, you promised me you're going to pop in on your way back because I can always use another little cuddle.
Yeah, that's what I said, Ada. That's what I intend to do. There's many a good tune played in the Nell Banjo, as they say.
And what we don't use, we lose.
Yeah, that's what they say. See ya. Ta-da, darling.
And you have good luck with your Indian.
Yeah, you should say break a leg. See ya.
Bert drives off, Ada waving goodbye. He parks at a roadside cafe and motel, a sign above a small building reading, The Cooler Bar and Grill. He heads into the bar.
G'day. Boy, is it hot out there. Oh, I bet the birds fly backwards around here to keep the dust out of their eyes.
What can I get you?
I'd like a cup of tea, please.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, best drink for quenching the thirst when the weather's hot.
We ain't seen a cup of tea in here ever. We got Coors, we got Schlitz or Miller or Coke and whiskey.
Oh. Well, I'll have Coke then.
He notices a woman smoking a cigarette.
You know, smoking's bad for you, don't you?
Is that so?
Yeah. Personally, I don't smoke and I don't drink. I had the right education from my dad on that one. He was like King James I, great anti-smoking man.
Sounds like you're on a one-man crusade there, Grandpa.
Yeah, well, you're born with one pair of lungs, so why destroy them with that muck?
Where are you from? Where's your hometown?
You English?
Heavens, no. I'm no Pommy. I'm from Invercargill in New Zealand.
Where?
Invercargill. Invercargill. I spell it with one L sometimes to save ink.
Huh. Got any of those critters over there?
Oh, yes, much bigger, though. We breed them down there on big farms and cut off their antlers and send them over to Hong Kong, and they grind the antlers into dust and they eat that stuff. It must be some sort of aphrodisiac something. Puts lead in your pencil.
You can do with some of that, eh, Leroy?
Yeah, Leroy.
She a girlfriend?
Wife.
Oh, dear.
Bert clutches his chest.
You all right?
He turns away from the bar, wincing, and trudges through a door. In a small adjacent room, Bert leans against the wall, grimacing in pain. He fishes in his trouser pocket and takes out his pills. He tips a few into his hand and swallows them. He trudges back into the bar.
Did you decide to leave Jackie a tip after all?
Look, sir, if you're not feeling well, you should drop into the hospital in the next town.
Oh, all right.
Later, Bert's parked by the side of the road, asleep in the back seat. A county sheriff patrol car pulls up behind him. Two officers get out of the patrol car, their hands on their holsters, and approach Bert's car. One of them leans over the passenger window and raps at the glass.
Down your window.
Hey.
Bert opens the door.
What's the problem?
You're parked illegally. You're a danger to passing traffic. Let's see your driver's license.
Yeah, all right. Here you are.
He hands the officer some papers.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Zealand. It's the land of the long, white cloud, Aotearoa, home of the kiwi bird.
No, I don't care if you're from Mars. You cannot stop here.
All right.
You cannot stop on the side of this road. You're parked illegally.
Okay, well, sorry. I was having a bit of a heart attack and, recovering from one anyway.
Yeah, well, next time, how about we stop at a proper rest area?
All right. Okay. Well, it's Bert Munro.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Bert's at a service station when a young soldier strides over.
Oil's okay.
Thank you.
That's all right, sir.
Excuse me. Heather.
Hi.
Listen, I was wondering if I could catch a ride. My car, she just broke down, and I'm really trying to get to Salt Lake City.
Oh, I'm only going as far as Wendover. That's where I'm stopping.
Well, anything would be better than nothing.
Ain't that the truth? Up in, mate.
Hey, thank you.
I'm gonna go see my girlfriend. She just moved from L.A. to Salt Lake, so...
Oh, yeah?
I'm home on leave from Nam.
Where?
Vietnam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what is that you got strapped on back there?
That young fellow is an Indian. Motorcycle. So what are you doing in Vietnam?
I'm involved in Operation Ranch Hand.
What's that, farming or something?
No, not exactly. We just started this program. We are spraying the jungle from the air with herbicides so the enemy, the Viet Cong, don't have any place to hide, right? Oh. Agent Orange, we call this stuff. It comes in these big orange drums.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's it working out?
Well, I'm home on 2 weeks' leave, and I gotta get my ass back there. But we should have this war done in about 6 months or so. That's what they keep telling us. Can't wait to get my ass out of there, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I remember the Great War, 1914. I was about your age, and that's what I kept telling everyone. Soon be over. 20 million dead, and 4 years later, it was still going on. Not as bad as the big flu epidemic, though. Killed 21 million, that did, or maybe more. Every day when I left to go to work, my mum would spray some formalin on my shirt, and maybe that's... Well, I didn't catch it. Oh, maybe I was just lucky. You never know.
Oh, knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah, life's a funny thing. You never know what's around the corner, do you?
Roadside billboards.
Let it stay. So why not shave? Modern way. Irma shave.
He doesn't kiss you, like she used to.
Perhaps he's seen some smoother rooster. Irma shave.
These signs we dedicate to men who've
had no date of late. Firma shave.
Yeah, that's us. Well, you anyway.
They pass a huge cowboy billboard.
Look at that. Oh, that's a cowboy and a half. I was thinking I'd come out to the salt with you. I'd like to be there the first time you see it. It's only a couple miles up the road, so.
Yeah, all right then. That sounds good.
Looks like there's a lot of people in town for Speed Week, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh, this is it, Bert. You're gonna take a left right up here.
Yeah.
They pass a sign that reads Bonneville Speedway, and Bert turns left, gazing out of the windshield.
Bonneville? I can't believe it. I mean, I'm here. I've made it. I've made it.
A large sign reads Bonneville Salt Flats, and beyond it, a vast expanse of salt-dusted flat land. Bert and his travelling companion get out of the car, and Bert puts on his black leather bomber jacket. He takes in the landscape, a look of awe on his face. He adjusts the sleeve of his jacket, transfixed by the salt plains.
All my life, I wanted to do something big. Something bigger and better than all the other jokers. This is it, Bonneville. Now, this is the place where big things happen. Do you realize, Rusty, the fastest man has ever gone on land is here? Right here where we are now? Huh. Malcolm Campbell did it here with Bluebird. First guy to go over 300 mile an hour, and then later his son, Donald Campbell, was here with Proteus. He crashed at 350 mile an hour and lifted Teletile. Huh. John Cobb was here. First guy to go over 400 mile an hour. All the great attempts. George Easton with Thunderbolt and Mickey Thompson with Challenger. I'm telling you, Rusty, this place is holy ground, mate. Holy ground. And I made it here.
Bert blinks back tears, then walks reverently towards the sign. As twilight darkens the sky, Bert pulls up outside the Western Ridge Motel, and Rusty gets out. He takes his bag from the back seat.
Well, Bert?
Yeah?
Thanks a million. We'll be looking for you in the record books.
Hey, you take care of there in Vietnam, won't you?
I'll be trying.
Got it, mate.
Drive safe.
Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.
Bert drives off, and later that evening, he ambles across the salt plain, his car parked nearby. He drinks in the spectacle, his lips slightly parted. Slowly, he turns round in a circle, absorbing the flat plain of white that stretches out in all directions. The morning sun is low on the horizon, the car and motorcycle still parked in the middle of the plains. Bert rises from the back seat, squinting at the sunlight. He throws open the car door and trudges outside, wincing. He glances about, then tries to urinate. He grimaces with frustration, then pads back over to the car. He gets the small cloth sack that Jake gave him and pours out a powdery substance into the palm of his hand and eats it.
God.
He spits some out, then eats some more.
Oh. God.
He washes it down with some water from a canteen. He puts the cap back on the canteen, then waits for a moment.
Jesus, yeah.
He gets back into peeing position. Bert shaving when another car approaches. Bert puts down his razor and wipes his face as the car pulls up alongside his.
Hey.
Hey there.
It's gonna be a great day.
Yeah.
Still, no wind.
Lovely day for a run.
Salt's in good shape.
Yeah, firm and dry, dead flat, no soft patches. Not like the beach. Yeah, I can do it here.
Yep. This week, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. God, is that yours?
Yep.
Oh, she's a beauty. I bet she goes fast.
Are you yours?
Yeah, it's an old Indian. My name's Monroe, Bert Monroe from down under, New Zealand.
Long way from home.
Yeah.
Jim Moffat, San Jose, California. Nice to meet you, Bert.
Good to meet you, Jim.
Moffat Racing Entries in New Zealand, sponsored by Hungarian Racing Camps. Owned and driven by Jim Moffat from San Jose, California. Red Bend, powered by a 390.
Jim's sleek red powerhouse of a machine hurtles across the salt plain. Then a parachute blooms at the rear, slowing it down.
Come on, guys. Come on, let's go.
Marty and Rolly help Bert wheel the Indian over to an inspection area.
Morning.
Hello. Bert Monroe.
Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Are you checked in?
No, not yet.
Well, you know, you got to remove the shell before we do the tech inspection.
Where do I check in?
That's just over there.
Thanks, fellas.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got to see this.
Well, I've come to check in. Monroe, Bert Monroe.
Registration number?
Huh?
Registration number. I don't see your number here.
Oh, no, it's 35. It's on the side of my motorcycle over there. And it's my lucky number.
Have you registered?
No, these are... that's what I come for. These two blokes sent me over here, Mike and someone else.
Sir, registration closed last month. If you haven't registered, I'm sorry. Just can't run.
I can't run, I mean... how was I supposed to know I should have pre-registered? I mean, I've come a heck of a long way to run my bike. I'm not going anywhere until I've done just that. I mean, I've come all the way from New Zealand, you know?
Look,
it's a long way.
Mister, we don't make the rules.
An event like this doesn't just happen in one day. Rules are rules. Entries closed July 31st.
But crikey, I live in Invercargill. It's halfway around the bloody earth, you know? How was I supposed to know these things? I didn't know all this stuff.
Sir, that's not our problem.
Well, I thought I could just turn up here and have my bike towed. You don't have to call me, sir. My name's
Monroe. Well, sir, you thought wrong.
With growing anxiety, Bert looks around desperately.
Here, Jim. Jim Moffat. It's Bert Monroe. Can you come over here, mate?
Okay, I'll be right back.
I need a bit of help.
Hey, Bert. What's up?
Well, I need your help, please. The bloke's telling me I can't run my bike because I'm not pre-registered.
You didn't register?
No, I didn't know anything about it.
You know how it is, Jim. Rules are rules.
Well, Bert, you should have registered months ago.
I didn't know.
I'll have a talk with these guys later, see if I can change their minds.
Blood's worth bottling.
I don't know about that. Look, we can talk about this later. Maybe you can let him go through tech inspection. Get that out of the way, just in case we can let him run.
You're asking a lot.
They consider.
Okay.
All right.
Huh?
Made me proud.
Thanks, Lud. Give me a bit of a fright there.
The inspectors study the Indian's design.
You know, these don't look like high-speed tires.
Well, they are high-speed tires.
Look at these hairline cracks. These tires got to be 25 years old. What happened to the tread?
What?
I said, what happened to the tread?
Well, I cut it off. That's what happened to the tread. I cut it off with a carving knife. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a high-speed tire, would it?
What are you talking about?
Well, you've got to keep the weight on, haven't you, son? Otherwise, when you get it at a high speed, the centrifugal force would throw the tread right off, wouldn't it? I run them in 65 pounds of air. That tire's safe up to 300 miles an hour. I guarantee it. These are high-speed tires, and I made them.
Well, you're going to have to replace them. The suspension here is a leaf spring. I mean, can we pass that?
Jeez, last leaf spring on a motorcycle must have been in the 1920s.
Well, it's just 42 years old.
These brakes, they're completely inadequate.
I'm planning on going, not stopping.
What? Well, the brakes were old-fashioned 40 years ago.
Is yeah.
This, what? Is this a hinge off a fence post?
No, that's from an old kitchen door.
What? Let me just ask you, what is this?
It's a cork. What does it look like? It's a cork from a brandy bottle. Yeah, the thing is, it's all about weight. The less weight, the faster you go.
And where's your chute?
What?
Where's your parachute?
Well, I'm not planning on bailing out.
No, you got to have a safety chute.
Well, I can't afford one.
These forks, if they give out, we got ourselves a real problem.
Oh, I think I'd have a bit of a problem that way, wouldn't I?
Where's your fire suit?
What?
Where's your fire suit?
Good heavens, man, I don't intend to burst into flames. Always wear my old suit pants for good luck. If they're good enough to get married in, they're good enough to ride this old girl in. And, you know, I just tuck the legs of my pants into my socks like this, you know, stop them getting caught in the chain and bobs your ankle.
Okay, so you got your suit pants. What are you going to wear on top?
What?
You got your suit pants on the bottom. Yeah. What do you intend to wear on top?
Yes, a black woolen shirt, New Zealand wool, water resistant, fire resistant, and me bash hat.
Your bash hat. Yeah.
Crash helmet.
You're crazy. You got to wear like at least a leather jacket on top. You put the bike down on the salt, it's like coarse sandpaper. It's going to rub your head right off.
I couldn't get into the shell with anything bucking the shirt on my back. I mean, it's a very tight fit in there.
Straight out of the ark.
What do you say?
Straight out of the ark.
Don't you be so cheeky. What's your name, young man?
McFarlane. Mike McFarlane.
Yeah, I knew McFarlane. He used to sell milking machines in Timaru. You must be related to him because he was a total prick.
Look, you don't even have a fire extinguisher installed.
Mike McFarlane used to give me milking machine parts to make my sprockets with.
How old are you?
I know, he's about 35 when I...
No, how old are you?
His brother owned the general store down in a place called Bulls. That's a town in New Zealand.
Sir, your machine is not safe.
I've been doing this for 43 years, and I'm still here to tell the tale.
Well, you know, times change. We started taking airplanes instead of riding horseback.
Horsepower? No.
Horseback,
yeah, I got you, yeah.
You're too old.
I may have the saggy skin on the outside, but inside I'm still 18 years old. I'll give you a run for your money, young fella.
You need some help?
Oh, hello.
Raleigh Free, Marty Dickerson, we're a couple of bike fans.
Oh, Bert Monroe from Kiwi Land.
Pleasure, Bert. You got me good there.
Yeah.
Where are you staying?
Well, that's my salubrious accommodation. I usually sleep at night in the back seat.
Salubrious, you say, Monroe, huh? We've been hearing a lot about you.
Sounds like you're cutting your finances mighty fine.
Oh, yeah, you can say that again.
Well, we're up at the Western Ridge. Why don't you drop by? It looks as though you could use a good shower, and everybody's staying there, and I bet that there's a spare bed there, too.
Well, thanks a lot. You Yanks are classic, you know that?
You don't catch me that easily.
Bert was about to shake Marty's hand with his greasy palm, the way he did with Rolly.
Hello?
The front forks could go at any time. The suspension is right out of the 1920s. He's got hairline cracks all over his tires. He's got no fire extinguisher, no safety chute.
I told you, if it's a time problem, the old guy's welcome to use some of my time.
It's not a time problem, it's a bike problem.
Well, I think we ought to let him run. He came all the way from New Zealand to do this.
Jim, have you had a good look at his machine?
All I know is the man's the genuine article.
Yeah, well, the bike is a genuine dinosaur.
Look. We carry the can for the decisions around here.
If the old fart kills himself, and it's about 100-1 that he will, right?
We are going to have a hell of a lot of trouble on our hands.
Yeah. Sounds like we're a bunch of chickens, if you want my opinion.
His bike didn't even come close to passing tech inspection, Jim.
Bert was listening. In his motel room, he scrubs a wheel tire with black shoe polish.
Bert.
Oh, Jim, come in.
Raleigh Free said I could find you here.
Raleigh Free, yeah. Oh, he's the best. He's a real gentleman. Yeah, he set me up at this place for nothing.
What are you doing?
Well, the soft shoe polish fills in the cracks, makes the tires look spick and span. Good as new. Cheaper than new ones, anyway.
I didn't see that.
Well, can I run?
I'm sorry, Bert.
Ah. Who the heck do they think they are? Craggy, Jim, I'm not trying to run them all in 4 minutes. All I got to do is sit there and open up the throttle. I mean, after all, it's my ruddy life, isn't it? Can't you do anything? I mean, I just want to try and get it to go over 200. Just once, that's all. Once I've cracked 200, I'll be quite happy to piss off back home to New Zealand and Bob's your uncle. I mean, you're a well-respected man around here. Can you talk to them?
I tried.
I mean, you've got as much chance of writing yourself off as I have, you know that. Just talk to them again. I know they'll listen to you, mate.
Okay, Bert, I'll try. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, I'm half the age of some of those characters out there.
He quickly takes a pill, struggling to hide his pain.
What's that?
Oh, that's just indigestion.
Jim looks doubtful.
You see, everyone wants us old buggers to curl up in some quiet corner and die. Well, Bert Munro's not ready to finish yet, I'll tell you that, mate.
I give it a shot, but I'm not promising anything.
Thanks, mate. Thanks a lot.
A sleek, dark blue car.
The famous Mickey Thompson car, Challenger 1.
Rolly, Marty, Rusty, Jim and Bert are wheeling the Munro Special towards the starting area.
Where's he going?
Didn't Jim tell him?
He says he did.
Then what's he doing here?
Why would you let him run?
Hey, he's too old, and his bike's too old.
What I hear, he's come halfway around the world to ride that cycle.
Yeah, come on.
Wendy, if he was to kill himself?
So? It's his life.
Keep an eye out for those officials.
Hurry, you sure you want to do this? I don't think it's such a good idea.
Come on, Bert, hurry up. We're going to do this damn thing. You got to hurry.
All right, let's go. Here's your helmet. Here's your goggles. Come on, Bert, we got to go.
Yeah, right.
Put them on.
One of the inspectors, Glenn, is watching.
Oh, come on.
Bert hunches down into the Indian.
Okay, let's go. Hey. Push, go fast.
Hey, you can't do... Hey! You can't do
come on.
Bert drives the Indian away, but it wobbles from side to side and slows down. The inspector's catching up with it.
Stop. What the hell are you doing, Bert? What the hell are you doing?
Just getting her warmed up, Bob.
Didn't look like you were getting her warmed up. Jesus, he was gonna take the thing for a freaking run.
Oh, boy.
That is the most determined man I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. I kind of feel sorry for the old cootie. Coming all this way, huh? Isn't there some way we can accommodate him? I mean, there can't be much risk there. His bike could be lucky if it does 70. Let me see, why don't we bend the rules this once, huh?
Jesus. Bert!
Yeah? Bob and I had a little chat, and we're thinking we're going to organize a handling run for you.
Yeah?
What? Yeah, well, a handling run. All the officials, we're going to get into our vehicles.
You're joking, huh?
No, I'm not. We're going to follow along behind you, and we're going to see if you're okay to ride this beast.
Of course I'm okay to ride it.
First thing tomorrow morning, all right? Bright and early.
Bert shakes their hands.
Well, I'll shave then.
Forget it, guys.
All right? You're all right. Don't hurt yourself.
Bert tucks the cuffs of his trousers into his socks, then gazes at a narrow track that cuts through the salt and stretches off into the far distance.
Okay, everyone listen up. This is what we're gonna do. Bert, you're gonna get rolling.
Right.
Ride slowly along. We'll all jump in our vehicles, follow you down the track. Right. See if you can handle this thing.
I'll handle it all right.
All right, everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got everybody.
All right.
Get in the car.
With a blissful smile on his face, Bert puts on his goggles while his helpers fasten the straps on his helmet. He puts on his black leather gloves, staring at the dark, seemingly endless track with a look of excited anticipation.
I hope the old man doesn't make a fool of himself.
Yeah.
Bert hunkers down into his machine.
Here
Okay. All right, I'm ready. Let's go. Start pushing. Come on, pass it, boy.
Go, Bert!
Bert gets off to a wobbly start, but then speeds off parallel with the track, and the others follow in their cars and pickup trucks. Bert soars across the salt plain like a bullet, hunkered down into the body of the machine, while the other vehicles keep up with him. Jim watches the speedometer.
60, 65, 70.
Attaboy, Bert!
75. There he goes up to 80, 80, 85.
90.
Bert stares intently through a plastic visor in front of his face.
95! Look at that man go!
Bert suddenly accelerates, overtaking the others and soaring off into the distance. Jim looks amazed.
Holy smoke!
He's leaving him behind!
What the hell is that old guy up to? Nobody told him he could give it everything.
Well, I guess that solves the question of whether or not he could handle it.
You were 95 and left us in the dust.
Woo! Look at him go!
Bert streaks along the track at breakneck speed, and the rear of the Indian begins to quiver from side to side. He raises his head over the visor and begins to slow down. He turns the motorcycle in a wide arc, then heads back in the same direction he came from. He speeds back to the starting area, then slows to a crawl.
All right, grab hold of her. Hold her firm. Got it? Down her go. That was a disaster.
Hey, Bert.
Huh?
How'd it go?
Not good. So, what's the verdict?
Well, when you opened up there in top gear, you sure left us in the dust.
I couldn't even get it out of second gear, huh? Oh. Yeah, the plugs are oiling up, so I had to feed us some more juice. You know, up the revs a little.
Well, I guess we'll see if you're telling us the truth, Monroe.
You telling me I can officially run my bike in the track and have it timed?
That's what I'm saying, Bert.
You'll never know what this means to me, Otto. 25 years I've doomed to this day. 25 years.
Well, sometimes you got to bend the rules a little. Today's one of those days.
Thank you, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Well, hey, Bert.
Bert!
What? Oh,
what did they say?
What happened?
They said I could run.
That's great!
Yeah.
Well, so why the long face then?
Well, now it's just starting to sink in, and I got a problem, a big problem. You know, as soon as I get over 110, it starts to wobble like heck. And a bad speed wobble.
Well, that bike did look like it was about as stable as my last wife.
Yeah. I got a theory, and I think I'm right. I need about 20 car batteries.
20?
Yeah.
You think it's okay to steal these batteries, Bert?
Not stealing them, Marty. We're souvenirs.
Be careful of that acid right there. All right, what do we do with them now?
Oh, we're gonna talk someone into lending us a painter's blowtorch.
Painter's blowtorch.
In a garage.
What are we gonna do with all this metal, Bert?
Well, when this cools down, we'll have ourselves a lead brick.
What do you do with a lead brick?
Place it in the front of the motorcycle.
And that's your plan?
Yeah. Well, you must get the center of pressure behind the center of gravity, and if you don't get it right, then she'll start to fishtail as soon as you get her wound up.
What do you mean by fishtail?
Well, like a fish's behind, you know, it'll start doing that. And that's what happened today when I had the handling run. And so in a panic, I lifted my head up from behind the screen, and suddenly the bike started to go straight, and I knew somehow that I'd solved the problem by sticking my head up into the wind.
I don't get it.
Me neither.
Well, I'll show you. Let me have that.
Hey, give me that. What are you doing?
Now, imagine the cigar is... my streamliner.
But don't poke holes in a cigar.
Now, if I hold it in the middle and blow on it, like so, see how unstable it is. Now, if I shift the center of pressure here and blow on it,
the cigar doesn't move.
See, it's much more stable. Because the center of pressure is behind the center of gravity. And that's what I'm trying to fix with the lead brick, you see.
You're quite clever, Bert. You know that?
Now, all I need to do is to test my theory before I run on the salt. And I was thinking of, you know, crossing over the start line from here in Utah into Nevada, where there's no speed limit, and running the bike with a lead brick in the front of it.
Bert's tearing along a stretch of empty highway on the Munro Special. He raises his head briefly above the plastic screen, then hunkers back down as he thunders along the road. He passes a police car coming from the opposite direction, which swiftly turns round and gives chase. Bert's parked by the side of the road, taking off his helmet, when the police car pulls up. An officer gets out.
Morning.
Good morning.
You know how fast you were going back there?
Yeah, about 150, 160 miles an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, how's he gonna talk his way out of this one?
He's sure got his ass in a sling this time, don't he?
So what's the situation with this thing? You don't have any license plates on it?
Well, it's registered in New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah. That's where I come from.
Right. You mean to tell me that this contraption of yours is registered for the road?
Yeah, in New Zealand.
New Zealand. Right. Well, how about taking it easy here in Nevada? Just because we don't have a speed limit don't mean we want people killing themselves.
Right. Sounds fair enough to me.
All right. You have a good day.
Oh, well, thank you.
You bet.
Bert, everything okay?
Well, fellas, we're going to have to give the lead brick the old Spanish Archer.
Spanish Archer?
Yeah, the big elbow, you know. The lead brick has got to go. Whose stupid idea was that anyway?
Was yours.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to have to ride her the way she is.
What about that speed wobble?
Well, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I've got another problem, too.
Yeah, what now?
Well, when I get her going, there's an enormous amount of heat coming off the exhaust pipe, and I hope it doesn't cook my leg.
Well, maybe you could wrap your leg in some asbestos cloth. That should fix it, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So you got any more problems you want to tell us about?
Oh, yes, yes. It's my old ticker.
You got a bad heart?
Yes.
Hey, Bert.
Yeah?
I've got a little surprise for you.
Huh?
Close your eyes and give me your hand.
Huh?
Just close your eyes. Come on.
What for?
Because I said so, mister. Come on.
I knew you're not trying to make a fool out of an old man, I
would. I'd never do that.
No?
Never. Never. Okay, okay. Now turn around.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Hold your hands out.
Yeah.
Good. Put that in your pocket.
All right.
Good, good.
You do.
Okay. You can open them.
A huge crowd has gathered, and Wendy has put a small cloth sack into his hands. Bert smiles.
What are you all staring at?
What is this?
Bert, we've unanimously voted you here on the Salt Flats Sportsman of the Year because we figured nobody has ever traveled as far as you have to be here for Speed Week. So normally we would present a trophy or something like that, but considering your case, we thought a few extra dollars would be more appreciated, so we passed the hat around.
Oh, my goodness.
There's money in the sack. He hugs Wendy.
Well, thank you all. Thank you all very much. I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. Oh, dear, it's quite overwhelming, you know. It's 25 years' dream to come here. Well, I shall try to justify your respect and, you know, The original speed of my old bike was 54 miles an hour. Now today I'm hoping to, improve it a little.
The crowd applaud as Bert performs a delighted jig.
Approaching the starting line now. Car number 86. The pumpkin seed. Looks like it's ready to be pushed out.
A truck gives a sleek blue vehicle a starting push.
Next competitor, Bert Monroe. All the way from Invercargill, New Zealand. Bert Monroe's entry was approved just yesterday.
Marty and Rolly are helping Bert with his boots.
Yeah, come on, tighten it up.
Bert, where'd you get this stuff?
Huh?
Say, where'd you get this stuff?
Oh, I tore an old electric blanket apart and got the asbestos cloth out of it. Got those heart pills.
You okay?
Bert, I could, yeah.
Nah, they're almost ready. Guys, come on, let's go.
Now, the bottle says that they may cause drowsiness. Do not operate machinery.
I know that.
Well, you're not supposed to take two of them anyway.
One for me, one for the old girl. Nitroglycerine. Make it go faster. Have some of this, love. There you go.
Bert climbs onto the bike.
Yeah, we're almost there.
All right, here we go. Hold it still.
Your goggles, huh?
Ah.
Goggles, put your goggles on.
Calm down, for sake. I can't get my leg in because of asbestos cloth on it. Okay.
He gets off again and puts a foot up on the bike.
Let me take it off.
Well, what about your leg in the heat?
Screw it. I got a spare one.
All right, Bert.
Yeah?
Get those goggles.
Got it?
All right, you know the way. Make sure you come back.
Come on, let's go. All right, push. All right, come on, fellas. Push faster.
Faster. Bert,
keep running. Keep it straight, buddy.
Bring it, Bert. Come on, go, go, go.
Let's go, Bert.
Bert's accelerating fast.
Come on, Bert.
You can do it, Bert.
He's got no parachute and he's got no brakes.
Bert's peering through the transparent visor in the streamliner, intent on the surface of the lake bed ahead as he speeds along. An official checks the timing clock.
158.647.
Mile
158.647
miles per hour.
Go, Bert!
Come on!
Go, Bert!
Make us proud, honey!
Bert!
All the onlookers can see now is a distant heat shimmer. The Munro Special blasts past the second mile marker.
167.921. Mile two. 167.921 miles per hour.
Crank it, Bert! Come on, go, go, go!
Bert's eyes blink behind his goggles as he passes the third marker.
Mile 3, 171.371 miles per hour.
Come on, come on, come on.
The front wheel of the motorcycle rattles against a dark groove that runs along the salt flats.
Mile 4, 172.485 miles per hour.
Still gaining speed, Bert zooms along, but the heat from the engine is beginning to burn his leg. He grimaces in pain, but presses on regardless.
193.728. Mile 6, 193.728 miles per hour.
The Indian is beginning to vibrate.
Come on, Bert! You can do it! Come on, Bert!
174.211 miles per hour.
Come on, Bert!
Impressed, the official blows out his cheeks. The motorcycle's picked up a dangerous wobble. With the sun in his eyes, Bert struggles to hold it steady. He lifts his head up away from the streamliner, and immediately the wind blast tears his goggles off. Bert forces his head back down and hangs on grimly. Despite the burning in his leg, he keeps the bike at full throttle. The final marker's approaching fast, and the Munro Special rockets past it.
What is it?
201.851. Mile 8,
201.851. Everyone goes wild, punching the air and hugging each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new record, 201.851 miles per hour. Bert, I hope you're going to stop soon.
He's gone back! Back!
Back where?
Back to whatever planet he came from, because he sure as hell ain't from this one.
Bert's still traveling at speed, the bike wobbling badly as he decelerates. Suddenly, it flips onto its side. It goes sliding across the lake bed, and he screams in pain and terror. Finally, the bike comes to a halt, smoke rising from the engine and the still spinning front wheel. The wheel stops suddenly against the rim of the streamliner as Bert releases the handlebars. Painfully, he shifts himself away from the bike and pulls at his trouser leg to reveal the nasty burn on his calf.
I really did touch my leg. I did it.
Lying on his back on the white salt of the lake bed, he stares up at the sky, his expression suddenly peaceful. Back in New Zealand, Tom undoes his trousers. He looks furtively over his shoulder, then pees on the base of the lemon tree. Later, he's in his kitchen with his mum.
Tom, can you get that? My hands are wet.
Tom gets up from the table.
Hello. This is the United States calling. I have a collect call from Mr. Bert Munro. Will you accept the charge?
Mum, it's Bert calling collect.
It is? Accept the call. Accept the call.
My mum said we can accept the call.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Tom, is that you?
Yes.
It's me, Bert. I did it, Tom. She's the world's fastest Indian.
She is?
Dad! We did it! Bert did it! He set a new record!
Bert's driving back along his street, the Indian on a trailer and Fran in the passenger seat. He pulls into his yard and his neighbours gather round.
Frank, how are you?
Jeff, thanks a lot, mate. Right.
Welcome home, Bert.
Hello, George. Oh, my goodness, you've made this place look spiffy, mate. Yeah,
you're doing us
proud. Yeah.
You put in the Cargill on the map.
I reckon so, yeah.
So what have you got planned now?
Well, right now I've got a lot of work to do. I hope to get back to Bonneville next year, you know.
More early mornings then?
Yeah, more early mornings. Hello, love.
Welcome home.
Nice to be back. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Bert.
How are you? Son, good to see you. You're growing up a bit, huh?
I looked after your lemon tree just like you told me.
You did, yeah. Looking good, too. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I fed the chickens.
You did?
And Mum cooked all the eggs.
Oh, yeah? Does it taste good?
Yep.
Yeah, good. You got the key?
Here it is.
All right, thanks.
I took care of it.
I knew you would.
How fast did you go?
Well, mighty fast. On one of my runs, I did over 200 miles an hour.
Whoa! What would happen if you opened your mouth at that speed?
Yeah, blow the backside out of your pants, I reckon. Right, let's see. Nice to be home, back in my shed.
Bert never gave up making his bike go faster. He returned to Bonneville 9 times, setting numerous land speed records. Burt's 1967 record for streamlined motorcycles under 1,000 cc's still stands. Thank you.